Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, July 24th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
NASDAQ futures fall after the U.S. opens an antitrust probe into big tech companies.
U.S. negotiators will head to China for face-to-face talks.
Deutsche Bank reports a wider net loss than flagged during its restructuring announcement.
Boris Johnson takes over as U.K. Prime Minister today.
It's testimony day for former special counsel Robert Mueller. Plus, there are reports Puerto Rico's governor will resign. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Blushka. Ahead in sports, Yankees win one of the most exciting games of the year. And Robbie Cano with a career night as the Mets beat the Padres.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 10 points this morning. Dow futures down 65. NASDAQ futures down 52. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 2.05%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.80%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 33 cents at $57.12 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $3.70. At $14.25.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1137 against the dollar, and the yen at 108.06. Nathan.
Karen, we're seeing weakness in technology shares this morning with the Justice Department opening an antitrust probe into big tech companies. We get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. The department's antitrust division has disclosed plans to scrutinize tech platforms following mounting criticism across Washington that the companies have become too big and too powerful. The department's scrutiny comes after repeated attacks on the industry's biggest names by the president. Mr. Trump repeatedly accuses tech platforms of bias against conservative views. The department didn't specify which firms it would look at, but strongly suggested Google, Amazon, and Facebook are in the crosshairs. Yeah, the pre-market shares of Amazon down 0.9%, Facebook down 1.4%. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. The probe comes as Facebook gets set to report earnings. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
The analyst survey by Bloomberg see the world's largest social network reporting adjusted earnings per share of $2.24 on revenue of $16.49 billion. As always with Facebook, among the closely watched metrics will be monthly and daily active users. Analysts at Bloomberg Intelligence say reduce ad targeting due to the EU's general data protection regulation, policy changes, and regulatory issues may affect the second half. And in its earnings report, Facebook may also have more to say about plans for its proposed Libra cryptocurrency. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Other key earnings today include Boeing, Caterpillar, AT&T, and Tesla.
Now, a couple stocks to get you updated on this morning. Shares of Texas Instruments are up 6%. The chipmaker gave stronger than predicted sales and profit forecasts for the current quarter. Snap shares are up 10%. Growth sped up after the social media company rolled out an improved version of its Android mobile app. And same store sales beat estimates at Chipotle. That stock rose more than 3% after hours.
Nissan's operating profit reportedly will plunge 90% in its fiscal first quarter. That's according to the Nikkei newspaper. Nissan officially reports earnings tomorrow.
In Europe, Deutsche Bank reported a wider net loss than flagged during its restructuring announcement. The German bank also says the outlook for lower interest rates will increase pressure on revenue. The company's CFO, James von Moltke, spoke to Bloomberg's Matt Miller.
We are very aware that the outlook deteriorated during June. Frankly, it does represent a revenue pressure for us and all of the banks if rates from here go down further.
And shares of Deutsche Bank right now down 4%.
Shares of Aston Martin are down more than 22%. The luxury sports car maker cut its full-year sales forecast by as much as 14% after weakness in key markets intensified.
It is officially the changing of the guard in London today as Boris Johnson takes over as prime minister. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Roger Hearing. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. It's a few hours before Theresa May leaves Downing Street for the last time as prime minister. In the political theatre of UK politics, she has to hand back her mandate to Queen Elizabeth before Boris Johnson can receive it. Once he in turn's visited Buckingham Palace to be asked to form a government, he'll go to Downing Street to begin work. His first task is to name his cabinet and fulfil his defining task, taking the UK out of the European Union by October the 31st. Reporting live in London, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Roger, thank you. Back in the U.S., former special counsel Robert Mueller will face questions from Congress for the very first time in a long-awaited hearing about the Russia-Trump investigation. Bloomberg's Amy Morris reports from the 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Mueller will publicly testify before two House committees in back-to-back hearings. First, he'll be before the Judiciary Committee and then before the Intelligence Committee for a total of 5 hours. Now, this will be the first time the former special counsel has faced questioning about his nearly two-year-long probe, and he has made it clear he will not discuss any details not within the four corners of his 448-page report. Mueller's former chief of staff will sit next to him and act as counsel. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Amy, thank you. And live coverage of the hearings begins at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time on both Bloomberg Radio and television.
U.S. trade officials head to China next week for their first face-to-face talk since May. A senior administration official says the meeting is not expected to lead to major breakthroughs. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross tells Bloomberg it's impossible to judge how long a deal will take.
What is important is that if we make a deal, it's a proper deal that is a really good deal. That's his overriding objective, and that's much more important than exact timing.
The sides remain at odds over significant issues like Washington's demands for structural reforms to China's economy and Beijing's call for the U.S. to remove existing punitive tariffs on imported Chinese goods.
And the stage has been set for the Justice Department to approve the merger of mobile phone carriers T-Mobile and Sprint. Bloomberg has learned that Dish Network has agreed to pay $5 billion for wireless assets the two companies are divesting. T-Mobile and Sprint have been fighting for more than a year to get their merger approved. And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down about 10 points. Dow futures down 60. NASDAQ futures down 50. The DAX in Germany's up a tenth of a percent. The CAC in Paris is down 0.5%. And the FTSE 100 is down 1%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:07 on Wall Street, and let's bring in Michael Barr to get more on what's happening around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Puerto Rico Governor Ricardo Rosello is poised to resign after 2 weeks' protests drew tens of thousands to the streets of San Juan. That's according to two of the island's largest newspapers. The crisis began after a leak of Rosello's scandalous texts. The Senate approved a measure to guarantee the September 11th Victims Fund never runs out of money. The vote was 97-2. Actor and activist John Stewart has been a tireless advocate for sick first responders.
We can never repay all that the 9/11 community has done for our country, but we can stop penalizing them.
President Trump is expected to sign the bill into law. It would extend funding through 2092, guaranteeing anyone 9/11-related illnesses to be covered. President Trump sued to block the House Ways and Means Committee from obtaining his tax records from New York State. In the lawsuit filed in Washington federal court, President Trump is attempting to fend off Committee Chairman Richard Neal's potential request for the documents under New York's Trust Act, which compels the state's tax department to comply with the House committee's records requests. President Trump continued to go after four Democratic congresswomen of color. During a speech before the Turning Point USA's Teen Student Action Summit, the president hurled insults at the group.
This is representing us. This is not what we want representing us, I don't think. And I think it's why we're going to have a tremendous victory in 2020. These people are crazy.
The four freshman congresswomen include Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts, and Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. About a week ago, Trump told them to go back to the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came from. Hours after the Senate confirmed Mark Esper as the next defense secretary, he was sworn in by Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito last night in an Oval Office ceremony attended by President Trump. Esper spoke briefly after taking the oath.
Mr. President, it is a privilege for me and for my family to be here with you today. Thank you for your leadership and for your commitment to a strong national defense. and to all of our service members.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees-Twins game had it all on Tuesday. Defense and just enough offense to outlast first-place Minnesota.
Line to right center field. There's a base hit. Didi rounds third. He scores. So Gleyber Torres comes through with a ribby single to right center. And the Yankees take a 13-12 lead.
Yankees radio 14-12 the final in 10 innings. Didi Gregorius with 7 RBI and Aaron Hicks had a game-saving catch as the Yankees even up the 3-game set at a game apiece. 20 base hits, including Didi, who went 5-for-5. Aroldis Chapman with the win, which erased the worst start of the year for Domingo Herman. He just didn't have it. Gave up 8 runs, never made it out of the fourth inning. Rubber match comes your way at 8 o'clock. Then it's on to Boston for a 4-game weekend set. Jay Happ and Jake Odorizzi tonight. Yankees lead the East by 10 games over Boston and Tampa Bay after the Red Sox beat the Rays 5-4. Boston starting to heat up. They're in second place for the first time since March. Mets, they rebounded off the disappointing road trip with some home cooking and Robbie Cano with a career night.
It's this ball deep to right. Down the line. If it's there, it's gone. Home run number 3 of the night for Robinson Cano.
Mets radio, 3 homers he'd finish with, 5-2. They beat the Padres and are 5 games above 500 at Citi Field. First career 3 home run game for Cano as Jason Vargas improved to 500. Tonight, Noah Syndergaard climbs the hill. And the sad saga continues for former Met pitcher Dwight Gooden. He was arrested for the second time in a month, Monday in Newark. It was for DUI as he was driving the wrong direction on a one-way street. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
And Rob, a big win for Nike. The apparel brand has signed Zion Williamson, the number one pick in the NBA draft, to a shoe deal with its Jordan brand. Terms not disclosed, but this comes 4 months after the Duke player hurt his knee when his Nike sneakers fell apart during a game. This is Bloomberg. And it's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, what will the new antitrust probe mean for the bull run in tech stocks? We check in with Lori Calvesina, head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC Capital Markets.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Asian stocks are mostly higher today amid optimism regarding the upcoming U.S.-China trade talks. Here's Bloomberg's Juliet Sully with more.
The CSI 300 was up 0.8%, while Japan's Nikkei index closed higher by 0.4% to 21,709 points. The rally in tech stocks led Japanese chipmaker bellwether Advantis to a 12-year high, while Nissan was higher ahead of a Nikkei news report that the carmaker will report a drop of about 90% in its fiscal first quarter operating profit. Australia's ASX 200 closed near all-time highs, but the Aussie led declines amongst G10 currencies after Westpac's chief economist Bill Evans, known as the doyen of RBA rate calls, predicted Australia's central bank will cut rates as soon as October and could ease again in February. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. U.S. stock index futures are falling as investors weigh corporate and economic news. Right now, S&P futures are down 9 points, Dow futures down 57, NASDAQ futures down 50, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany is up almost 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32nds, yield 2.05%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.80%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 28 cents at $57.05 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $4.30 to $14.26 an ounce. The euro, 1.1139 against the dollar. The yen, 108.06. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Democrats and Republicans in the House are gearing up to question the former special counsel in the Russia probe, Robert Mueller, about his report. Mueller is set to testify before 2 House committees this morning and afternoon. You can hear it on Bloomberg starting at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Boris Johnson is set to form a cabinet for modern Britain as he prepares to become prime minister following his victory in an election to lead the governing Conservatives. The incoming leader has just over 3 months to make good on his promise to lead the U.K. out of the European Union by October 31st. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets were winners. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals, Orioles, A's, and Giants. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street now, and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Lori Calvasina joins us, head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC Capital Markets. A lot of headlines to digest this morning, Lori, not the least of which this broad antitrust probe into major tech companies. Does this have broader market implications?
I think it does. I mean, tech, of course, and, you know, what we refer to as TIMT broadly has really been the market leader. And, we, you know, it's a very crowded, it's a very overvalued part of the market, but it's one a lot of investors have clung to for lack of better options. I personally, you know, we've been worried about tech sector regulation for the past year. This is something that investors on the street slowly seem to be waking up to. And I think today's news is just another, you know, piece of evidence saying this is something investors need to be paying a lot more attention to.
Why do you think investors haven't been paying attention to it up to this point? I mean, there has been a fair amount of scrutiny building on some of the major tech firms over the last few months.
I think, you know, whenever the fines come out, you know, we sort of hear that these are not a big deal. I do think the companies are still putting up very good numbers. It's just a question of whether or not the longer term implications are really seen, because short term, they do seem to be getting through it okay.
Do you see longer-term implications, and how should investors be reacting to them?
So we've been telling investors to go underweight TIMT for quite some time, and this has been one of the big reasons why. And, you know, I think you can look back at the financial services industry, which has been battling with greater regulation for over a decade. And one of the things we have heard about the banks is that they've been too de-risked to grow. And, you know, I do think you have to think about the longer-term implications here. Once the regulators set their sights on an industry, it takes a lot of time for things to play out. It takes a lot of time for the new rules of the road to be written. And, you know, one of the things we've been talking a lot about with investors recently has been the implications of the 2020 election. If you were to get a Democrat in the White House next year, we also think that's something a lot of investors are being complacent on. But we certainly are seeing bipartisan desire to go after the big tech platforms. And certainly this is something Elizabeth Warren has made a real cornerstone of her campaign. The news this morning, these investigations that we're seeing are coming out of a Republican government. So we think, you know, kind of regardless of what happens in 2020, this sector is going to be a target of the regulators for a while.
Does this sector potentially show signs of life as far as earnings go, when we're going to get a lot of tech reporting in the next few days here?
Yeah, I mean, some of the more crowded names that have reported, and I can't go into individual names, but some of the more crowded ones, you know, we haven't necessarily seen great stock price reactions from this space recently. So I do think they're worth keeping an eye on going forward. But, you know, in terms of just the broader space, we think investors really need to be, you know, kind of taking the longer-term view and think about this as an investor. Is this somewhere you want to be invested for the next, you know, several years, or is this somewhere where this regulatory risk is really going to encourage longer-term investors to start taking profits? And we really think you should be in the latter camp.
I want to focus a little bit here on industrials. I wonder if we'll get any further insight into the impact of the trade uncertainty when names like Caterpillar report this week.
You know, the machinery space has been one that's been very interesting to us because it's looked like a very under-owned group. It's looked like a very de-risked group, very cheap on valuation relative to the broad market. And certainly it has been in the crosshairs of the trade war. But we have been fighting that trade war with these companies for you know, well over a year at this point. I think what's been interesting about reporting season so far is that the industrial companies, that they've generally been coming through on earnings, so they should be applauded for that. But where they've been having a tougher time has been the revenue beats. We've actually seen a big increase in earnings beats, but a big decrease in revenue beats for this sector. And I'll be looking to see whether or not that continues this week. What it tells you when you see something like that is that the companies are managing through, but there are still a lot of fundamental challenges that they're having to overcome. And certainly that's what we heard from a lot of the companies last week.
Lori Calvesina, thank you. Lori Calvesina is head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC Capital Markets. On a morning where we are seeing tech shares leading declines for futures contracts on Wall Street, NASDAQ futures are down 50 points right now. That's a drop of nearly 2/3 of 1%. Dow futures down 60 points. NASDAQ futures down almost 10 points. Mixed picture in Europe. The DAX in Germany is 0.2% higher, while the CAC in Paris is down 0.5%. 10-year up 7/32. The yield 2.05%. 2-year treasury yield nearly 1.81%. Straight ahead, we preview earnings from Facebook and Tesla, plus all the latest in business, economics, and finance. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. 525 on Wall Street. Stay with Bloomberg as former special counsel Robert Mueller appears before the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees. Live coverage beginning at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're seeing U.S. futures lower, led by tech stocks, after the U.S. opened an antitrust probe into big technology companies. We get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And the Justice Department's antitrust division disclosed plans to scrutinize tech platforms to determine if they're thwarting competition. Now, this announcement, Karen, marks the latest sign of the escalating pressure coming down on tech giants from Capitol Hill to President Trump, who accuses the companies of silencing conservative views. The department didn't specify which firms it would look at, but strongly suggested Facebook, Alphabet's Google, and Amazon are the focus. Amazon shares in the pre-market down 0.9%. Facebook shares down 1.5%. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And John, Facebook will be among more than 40 companies reporting earnings today. We also hear from Boeing, a preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The analyst survey by Bloomberg see the beleaguered plane maker earning $1.96 a share on revenue of $19.15 billion. But the big focus of this report will be what Boeing has to say about the future of the 737 MAX jet and the timetable for getting it back in the air. The planes were grounded following two fatal crashes within a span of 5 months, and last week the company announced a nearly $5 billion charge related to the jets. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Tesla will also report earnings today, and Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has that preview.
Pent-up demand overseas likely drove Tesla sales, but Bloomberg Intelligence notes the electric car maker's global expansion poses a challenge to profitability. That was seen in the prior quarter when Tesla posted an operating loss as international deliveries rose. Forecasts are for Tesla to post an adjusted loss of 31 cents a share on revenue topping $6.4 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. Shares of Texas Instruments are up 6%. The chipmaker gave stronger than predicted sales and profit forecasts for the current quarter.
Snap shares up 11.5%. Growth speeded up after the social media company rolled out an improved version of its Android mobile app.
In Europe, shares of Deutsche Bank are down about 4%. The bank reported a wider net loss than flagged during its restructuring announcement.
And Bloomberg News has learned satellite TV provider Dish Network has agreed to pay $5 billion for wireless assets in a deal with T-Mobile, U.S., and Sprint. That could be the stage for the Justice Department to approve the $26.5 billion merger of the mobile phone carriers. And this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Time now to check the latest world and national news with Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Former special counsel Robert Mueller will testify before two House committees today. Bloomberg's Ed Maxter has the story.
5 hours of testimony expected, and he is expected to stay within the bounds of his report. So what does Judiciary Committee Chair Adam Schiff hope to get?
A better public understanding of the gravity of what the Russians did, the systemic nature of what the Russians did, and the gravity of what the Trump campaign did and what our own president did.
Now, the president has said he might listen to parts of the testimony. Republicans like Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham.
No, I don't intend to be watching it.
And I don't think anything Mueller can say that's going to change anybody's mind.
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
FBI Director Christopher Wray appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is examining oversight of the Bureau. Wray says the threat of Russian interference in the U.S. elections is ongoing.
The Russians are absolutely intent on trying to interfere with our elections.
Wray also believes that homegrown violent extremism presents the greatest threat to the homeland. President Trump sued to block the Democrat-led House Ways and Means Committee from obtaining his tax records from New York State. It's the latest attempt to keep his personal financial information out of public view. The president is suing as a private citizen. Boris Johnson will formally take office as UK Prime Minister today and seek to build a government that will bring his Conservative Party together and deliver Brexit. Johnson was a British Foreign Secretary and the Mayor of London from 2008 to 2016. The Senate passed a bill, 97-2, to fund the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund. It permanently compensates individuals who were injured during the 2001 terrorist attacks and their aftermath, rescuing people and removing debris under hazardous conditions. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York has been fighting for 9/11 first responders.
Finally, we have the chance to get this job done for our 9/11 heroes once and for all.
Republican Senators Rand Paul of Kentucky and Mike Lee of Utah have been trying to block the bill. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. For all the offense the Yankees threw up Tuesday night in Minnesota, it was the defense they'll be remembered for.
Kepler lines right in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
Yes, on the call, 14-12 in 10 innings at Target Field to even up the series at 1. Didi Gregorius went 5-for-5 with 7 RBI and 6 pitchers, bailed out Domingo Germán, who was tagged with 8 runs in 3 2/3 innings. Worst start of the year for the 12-game winner. Series wraps up tonight at 8 when Jake Odorizzi hosts Jay Happ. Then it's on to Boston for a 4-game weekend set where things have just gotten interesting. Boston beat Tampa Bay 5-4, pulling them into a tie for second place with the Rays, 10 back of the Yankees. It's the first time since March the Red Sox have been in second place. Mets saw Robbie Cano touch them all 3 times for the first time in his career as the Mets opened a homestand with a 5-2 win against San Diego.
You know, I'm glad that I did it today. Helped the team to win the first game of the series. And, you know, whatever I accomplished, that's something that I'm going to look back when I retire, what I've done. But right now, it's all about winning for us.
New York is 5 games above 500 at home versus 13 below on the road. And former Met pitcher Dwight "Doc" Gooden is in trouble again. He was arrested for the second time this month, Monday, for DUI in Newark after being spotted driving the wrong way down a one-way street. This follows his July 7th arrest for suspicion of cocaine possession. Gooden is 54. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. 5:37 now on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with a cover on Fed Chair Jerome Powell's guide to managing President Trump. Also in this week's issue, why Uber should become the Amazon of routing. Shira Ovide wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
You know, there is an AWS hiding inside of Uber. This is a company that has spent a decade honing its own technology to match people who want rides with all of these drivers around the world. It has mapping and routing and logistics technology. That is all really hard to do.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Nassar and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report from Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. This year's Miss America pageant will be held at the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut. The event's departure from Atlantic City had been expected since the Casino Reinvestment Development Authority declined to renew subsidies for the pageant after last fall's competition. Two New York City deli owners say London-based National Grid will cost them about $400,000 by refusing to supply natural gas to a new burger restaurant they're planning in Brooklyn. New York and New Jersey have denied approvals for a pipeline expansion National Grid says it needs to boost its gas capacity. New York State lawmakers have introduced a bill that would make it illegal for cell phone companies and mobile app developers to share location data gathered while a customer's mobile device is within the five boroughs. Those firms make billions of dollars selling customer location data to marketers and other businesses. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, we're watching for earnings from Boeing.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. NBA rookie Zion Williamson has signed a shoe deal with Nike's Jordan brand.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the heatwave in Europe as French farmers grapple with a drought, and unions in the UK call for flexible working to deal with record temperatures.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Apple's requested that parts for its Mac Pro are excluded from import tariffs.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following, WeWork, is looking to September for what would be the second largest IPO of the year. Bloomberg's learned the office space company is targeting a share sale of about $3.5 billion. SoftBank is WeWork's biggest investor. It's valued the unprofitable business at $47 billion. Futures headed lower. S&P futures down 10 points now. Dow futures down 67 points. NASDAQ futures down almost 53 points. 10-year Treasury yield 2.05%. The 2-year at 1.81%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis of some of this morning's top news. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are falling as investors weigh corporate and economic news. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 12 points. Dow futures down 82. NASDAQ futures down 56. The DAX in Germany, little change. 10-year Treasury up 7/32. Yield 2.05%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.81%. NYMEX crude oil is up a third of a percent or 19 cents at $56.95 a barrel. COMEX gold is up a third of a percent or $4.90 to $14.2660 an ounce. The euro 1.1142 against the dollar and the yen 108.03. And today we get a report on new home sales at a 10 o'clock Wall Street time. And it's a busy day for earnings. We hear from a number of companies, including Facebook and Boeing. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, today all eyes will be on Congress as Special Counsel Robert Mueller delivers his long-awaited testimony. That testimony will be televised over two hearings regarding the Russia probe. You can hear it on Bloomberg Radio starting at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. It's a political changing of the guard today in Britain. Boris Johnson will take over today from Theresa May as the next prime minister. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets were winners. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals, Orioles, A's, and Giants. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
5:48 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. It is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. Editor Jennifer Ryan joins us from our London bureau, where the changing of the guard is underway. Jen, Boris Johnson taking over as prime minister and promising to renegotiate Brexit. Clive Crook this morning is arguing the European Union should allow him to, but there is that major sticking point.
I mean, you're exactly right. The guard is changing, but within that, Brexit remains and the sticking point remains. That sticking point is the backstop, the plan to avoid new border infrastructure between Ireland, which will remain part of the EU, and Northern Ireland, which won't. So Clive Crook says all solutions to this issue have left Brexiters unimpressed, and it's opposition to this part of the Brexit deal that's been the main reason why Theresa May's government failed three times to get the agreement through Parliament, and it's also why Johnson is now in charge.
Yeah, and of course, Theresa May all this time has said the deal that she negotiated is the only deal that's possible. I mean, could Johnson actually prove her wrong?
Well, I mean, the idea of getting this, trying for a fourth time to get her deal through successfully, that seems vanishingly small. So what are the other possibilities here? Well, it looks like you can have a deliberate no-deal Brexit, an accidental no-deal Brexit, a second referendum, a general election, even conceivably unilateral revocation of the decision to quit the union. But Crook says that the thing with all of these is that they're all worse for the EU than agreeing to a new deal with no backstop, because a no-deal Brexit would sure hurt Britain severely, but it's also going to damage the EU's economies at a time when their prospects really aren't very bright. Europe's leaders are already justifiably incredibly sick of the Brexit saga, but that's exactly why they should be helping to push it forward to a solution rather than away from an orderly resolution.
Well, what would an orderly resolution look like? I mean, would the EU actually give up the backstop?
Crook says the really simple solution here is to take the backstop out of the withdrawal agreement and replace it with an undertaking to avoid, by whatever means, installing any physical infrastructure at the Northern Irish border. There are, of course, a lot of objections to this, and Crook unpicks quite a number of them. But here's one that I'll focus on, is the idea that Johnson would seize on any concession as a victory and that the EU, eager to discourage further defections, can't, under any circumstances, allow the UK anything that looks like a success. Times have moved on, and there is no European nation that's going to look at what's happened in Britain since the referendum passed in 2016 and think that's the way for us to go. So allowing an orderly exit won't undo the economic and political harm that Britain has already inflicted on itself. And talks and refusals to talk are matters of strategy, and the best course isn't always obvious, but in this case, it really is. Europe needs to think again, Crook argues, and that insisting on the backstop and refusing to reopen the withdrawal agreement is really just plain irrational.
Of course, the other big news this morning, the Justice Department announcing a broad antitrust probe of major tech companies. Shira Ovide is looking into that this morning, but should it really be that big a surprise?
Well, it shouldn't be to the tech giants or really anyone who's been following the news. Indeed, about the only bipartisan issue among politicians in Washington is bashing big technology companies for ills real or imagined. And government investigators crawling all over Silicon Valley looking for evidence of illegal monopolies is not good for the superpowers of the tech industry, and investors are really alive to this issue.
Well, if it's been so obvious up to this point, have tech companies responded appropriately?
I mean, this is a thing that's really causing some head shaking, because they've trotted out their standard lines. Scrutiny of big companies is healthy, they say, but don't worry about us. The titanic tech companies of America really aren't all that big or powerful. Really, we could die at any moment. This is the standard response. Ovide's point is that, yeah, there could be some truth to that. You're sure tech can move on and leave some big companies in the dust. But really, their playbook at this point just needs revision, because this isn't the whole story. And this isn't what the government antitrust authorities care about. What they want to know, what the public deserves to know, is whether these tech companies have used their success to cheat their way into more success.
Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan, thank you as always. You can read more from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or on the Bloomberg Terminal, type OPIN. Go. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and IRS Commissioner Charles Redding are planning a redo of the IRS. Tax professionals warn, though, that could hurt campaigns to audit large companies. An overseas whistleblower has earned $500,000 reward from the SEC. By law, the agency can't release any details, but the whistleblower office says sanctions imposed because of tips have recently reached more than $2 billion. And the Senate Banking Committee plans to take up a bill to make it easier for banks and credit unions to provide services to marijuana-related businesses.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thank you. And now other legal news we're watching this morning. The Trump administration is trying something new in its quest to crack down on illegal immigration. A new fast-track deportation process will bypass immigration judges and remove immigrants in as quickly as a day. This will lead to a new court battle as the ACLU and immigration groups are promising to challenge it in court. Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Cato Institute immigration policy analyst David Beyer for more.
So, David, basically, if a person anywhere in the U.S. can't immediately prove that they've been in the country continuously for at least 2 years or have legal standing, can they be deported without going to a judge? How does this work in practice?
Well, in practice, it's really up to the administration to decide how it works out. Right now, expedited removal, as this process is known, is really used just at airports, seaports, land ports, and to some extent in the 100-mile zone along the southwest border of the United States where people are arrested crossing the border and then quickly sent back to their home countries. So it's totally unprecedented for it to be used for people stopped in the interior. And so yes, it really is the case that we're in uncharted territory where an immigration agent can make an arrest and then very quickly send someone packing if they don't have that proof of 2 years residence in the United States legally.
So according to the Pew Research Center, the typical undocumented immigrant has lived in the U.S. for 15 years. But can they all prove that? And could some U.S. citizens also get swept up accidentally in this expedited process?
Well, absolutely. It would be difficult, in fact, for many people to prove 2 years residence when you've just been arrested. I mean, that's the whole issue more than anything else, is if you get picked up by the police or by an ICE agent and you just have whatever's in your pockets, that may not be enough to prove 2 years of continuous residence in the United States. And again, we don't know how people will use their discretion, but we know the Trump administration's agenda is increasing deportations as much as possible. And so naturally, if people can't prove that they meet this requirement, then they will be removed. And we know of many U.S. citizens who have been detained and who have then proven their U.S. citizenship only after a court hearing.
And that's Cato Institute immigration policy analyst David Beyer speaking to Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures are lower this morning, down about 11 points. Dow futures down 78. NASDAQ futures down 52. 10-year Treasury up 7/32nds, yield 2.05%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.81%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 24 cents at $57.01 a barrel. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.